Welcome to the 2018 State of the State Address by Governor Scott Walker. Wisconsin Public Broadcasting's coverage comes to you live from the state capitol in Madison. In a few moments, Scott Walker, the 45th governor of Wisconsin, will make his way into the assembly chambers. He will speak this afternoon before the full legislature. Also in attendance, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, his cabinet, and other statewide elected officials. Good afternoon. I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television.
And I'm Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio. This will be Scott Walker's eighth State of the State gathering before a joint session of the legislature. And for the second year in a row, it's an afternoon address.
Governor Scott Walker this afternoon gives us a snapshot of how the state is doing and at the same time lays out his agenda for 2018, a plan that he will work with the legislature to achieve.
Right now in the Wisconsin, the balance of power looks like this. In the Assembly, Democrats currently have 35 representatives and Republicans control 63 seats. There's one seat vacant. In the Wisconsin Senate, there are now 14 Democrats and 18 Republicans. That's a pickup of one for Democrats who secured a seat in the 10th Senate District. Just last week, Democrat Patty Schachner won a special election in that district bordering Minnesota.
It will be an interesting political year ahead as we enter midterm elections when 17 state Senate seats are up for election and all 99 seats in the Wisconsin Assembly.
Following today's State of the State address, Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh will provide the Democratic response.
And so this clearly is an election year address. Governor Scott Walker up for re-election, of course, and he has already announced several kind of new funding priorities.
We say this every 4 years. I mean, you have to look at speeches that a governor gives in an election year kind of through that lens of the election that's on the horizon. That's the case this year. You've already heard the governor hint, as he often does before the State of the State address, about many of the initiatives that are in here. He's got a list of stuff that he wants the legislature to approve before they go home, you know, as soon as maybe late February or March.
One of the things that we've learned about that the governor is proposing is a $100 per child tax credit. That means if you've got a child under the age of 18, $100 per child in a tax credit. He also, as you've said, has laid out some other plans that he would like to forward, something called a health care stability plan. We can talk about that in more detail as we wait here, but the governor also will detail that in his address.
He's also announced just today a Rural Economic Development Fund. And there you hear the governor being announced by the Assembly Sergeant-at-Arms to the State Assembly and Senate.
He walks in, clearly, to rousing applause. As we were talking about, though, he does have these kinds of plans, almost moderating plans, really, from a conservative Republican governor. He's talking about additional funding for low-spending rural schools, rural economic development funding. He has already laid out plans to close the state's troubled juvenile correctional facilities. And again, this health care stability plan that has, it's a three-prong plan.
And, you know, just wanted to point out here real quick, as if we needed any reminders that there's an election happening. Those are two of the governor's potential opponents that who escorted him in there right there. State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma is one of the Democrats running for governor. Also, State Representative Dana Walks of Eau Claire, another Democrat running for governor. And, you know, if this speech follows patterns of speeches past, you might be shaking hands here soon with Tony Evers, the superintendent of public instruction, is usually in the crowd. A number of Democrats lining up to challenge the governor. But it's rare that you see two of them escort him into the assembly chambers before his address.
Well, there are more than 15 challengers, Democratic challenges to the governor. In this governor's race, and presumably each of these plans faces criticism from legislative Democrats and his challengers.
Now you see him talking to Tony Evers.
There it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if he alludes to him during the speech. One of the things that you know the governor is going to highlight in his speech is education funding that he got included as part of the last state budget in terms of just sheer state dollars. Forget how the state disperses it. In sheer state dollars, it was similar to what Tony Evers wants. He's also going to highlight some other bills that Democrats have called for. When it comes to the Lincoln Hills plan that you alluded to there, he's taking a Democratic bill there and kind of claiming it as his own. That won't be the case for the governor's entire agenda here. A number of these welfare-related bills are sponsored by conservative Republicans and may not garner many Democratic votes.
At this time, it is my honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Scott Walker.
Speaker Voss, Speaker Pro Tem August, President Ross, Majority Leader Fitzgerald, Minority Leader Schilling, Minority Leader Hintz, Supreme Court Justices, Constitutional Officers, Tribal Leaders, Members of the Cabinet, Members of the Legislature, Distinguished Guests, and most importantly, fellow citizens of Wisconsin, it is an honor to come before you this afternoon to report on the state of our great state. Before we start, I want to recognize the First Lady of Wisconsin, my wife, Tonette, and our two sons, Matt and Alex. Last year, as you might remember, Tonette joined me at this podium to talk about her groundbreaking work called Fostering Futures. She and her team continue their efforts with tribal councils, county governments, nonprofits, colleges and universities, and employers from across Wisconsin. Our state agencies have been trained on how to incorporate trauma-informed care into their daily routines. She brought together a group of first spouses and staff to Wisconsin to talk about this important work, and she went to Washington to get the federal government more involved in this area. Tonette, I want to thank you for your leadership, leadership that will change the lives of children, adults, and families all over Wisconsin. Next to my wife is Major General Donald Dunbar, who, as you know, is the Adjutant General of the 10,000 strong men and women of the Wisconsin National Guard. Thank you for your service, General Dunbar. And next to him, this is a great treat this year, next to him is Major General Mark Anderson. It was my privilege to administer the oath earlier this month to our second two-star general. What an honor for Wisconsin. Congratulations, General Anderson. In September, General Dunbar, Chief Master Sergeant Thomas Safer, and I had the opportunity to visit members of the 115th Fighter Wing from right here in Madison while they were deployed in Kwusan Air Base in South Korea. Commanding Officer Bart Van Roo, who's with us, who I actually had the chance to fly in with an F-16 years ago, he and 255 airmen were deployed to one of the most intense spots in the world, South Korea. Now, while we were there, I met the commander of the 7th Air Force, Lieutenant General Thomas Bergson. By the way, he's a 1981 graduate of Wisconsin Rapids High School. He told me of the incredible skill of our airmen and women, And as if that wasn't enough, the commander of the 115th, Colonel Eric Peterson, and many of the remarkable men and women of the Wisconsin National Guard joined me last month as we announced that Wisconsin had been selected to host the brand new F-35A Lightning II fighter jets right here at Truex Field. Out of all the states in America, we had the number one location. I'm looking forward to hearing the F-35s take off, because you know what? That's the sound of freedom. Congratulations to these outstanding men and women, many of whom are with us here today. Today, I'm proud to declare that the state of our state, well, it's historically strong. In Wisconsin, employment is at historic highs, and unemployment is at historic lows. We invested more actual dollars into schools than ever before in our history. The state property tax is gone. Wisconsin received a bond rating upgrade from three national agencies. Our healthcare systems are ranked number one in the nation for quality. And we announced the largest economic development project in state history. It has been an amazing year, a historic year. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. As mentioned, more people are employed in Wisconsin than ever before in the history of our state. And just last week, the Department of Workforce Development announced that the unemployment rate had dropped to 3%. The only other time it was that low was in May, June, and July of 1999 when Tommy Thompson was our governor. You know, things were pretty good back then, they're pretty good now, and they're only going to get better. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. Students in our schools have some of the highest ACT scores and some of the best graduation rates in the country. And we just invested more actual dollars into K-12 education than ever before. An extra $200 for every student in every school in every part of our state this year, and another $204 increase for every student on top of that next year. Our children deserve a great education that prepares them for college, careers, and real life. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. To make college more affordable for students and working families, we froze University of Wisconsin tuition for all undergraduates from our state for 6 years in a row. We're partnering with financial institutions to help graduates refinance student loans, and financial assistance for students in need, well, it's at an all-time high, making higher education possible for thousands of students at colleges and universities across the state. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. We were able to make record investments in education while still continuing to reduce the burden on hardworking taxpayers. According to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, both property and income taxes will be lower in 2018 than they were in 2010. And we eliminated, that's right, we eliminated the state property tax. That's right, 100% of the property taxpayers in our state saw a 100% reduction in their state property tax bills. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. Healthcare systems in our state rank number one in the nation for quality, according to the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. Plus, everyone living in poverty is now covered under Badger Care for the first time in the history of the state. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the percentage of people with access to health coverage in Wisconsin is now one of the best in the nation. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. Wisconsin is number one in cheese, cranberries, and ginseng. We're one of the top states for milk, corn, soybeans, beef, apples, cherries, potatoes, and vegetables. Heck, I'm just getting hungry thinking about that. Agriculture is a big part of our economy, and for our farm families, it's more than that. It's a way of life. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. No state in the nation provides more benefits for veterans than Wisconsin. We offer 23 benefits for our veterans, while the next closest state offers 21. Our veterans can attend college tuition-free, and we expanded eligibility so more of our veteran spouses and families can too. And U.S. News and World Report reports our veterans' homes are among the best in the country. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. More people working than ever before. Unemployment is at historic low. Record investments in our kids' education. More help for our colleges and universities. Lower taxes, quality health care, growing agriculture and industry, taking care of our veterans. Yeah, we're getting things done. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. But as you might recall, that wasn't always the case. 8 years ago, things were much different. The state was headed in the wrong direction. Instead of going forwards, the state was going backwards. 8 years ago, in January of 2010, the unemployment rate was 9.2%. Today, the unemployment rate is down to 3%. That is well below the national rate of 4.1%. And as I mentioned before, it is tied for the lowest unemployment rate in the history of Wisconsin. In fact, more people are working in Wisconsin than ever before. People like Brooke and Cliff from Magnesian Healthcare in Fond du Lac and Sarah from iButtonLink Technology in Whitewater. Brooke, Cliff, and Sarah all became employed through our Wisconsin Fast Forward Working Training Program during the past year. Eight years ago, the state government created a $3.6 billion budget deficit. The previous governor and legislature raided from the Transportation Fund, the Patient Compensation Fund. Heck, they even missed a payment to Minnesota for tax reciprocity. Today, the state ended the last fiscal year with a more than a half a billion dollar surplus, and the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau just predicted that we will end the current budget with an even larger surplus than first projected. Our pension is fully funded, and the rainy day fund is 168 times bigger than we took office. Wisconsin's long-term outstanding debt is one of the lowest, meaning one of the best in the nation. We're paying off our obligations faster than we take on debt. And three national agencies upgraded our bond rating this past year. For Moody's, that was the first time since 1973. For Fitch and Kroll, it's the first time ever. That's historic. This is yet more proof that our financial management is working. We invested more than $6 billion into the transportation system in our recent state budget, which brings our total investment to $24 billion over 8 years. That's $3 billion more than what former Governor Jim Doyle spent on transportation over the same period of time. You heard that right. We invested $3 billion more into transportation than Jim Doyle did during the same amount of time. In our budget, the increases we gave to local governments to fix roads, to repair bridges, and to fill potholes are some of the largest in 20 years. We also put large amounts into state highway rehab. And thanks to the diligent work of Secretary Dave Ross and his team, who found savings, we are able to move up projects like Interstate 3990 and Wisconsin 441 while still keeping major projects like Verona Road on time. Overall, these savings will move up 26 projects. Projects like Highway 18 from Dodgeville to Mount Horeb, Highway 45 in Shawnee County, Highway 16 from La Crosse to Sparta, and Highway 172 in Brown County. 8 years ago, according to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the previous governor and legislature actually cut funding for schools and local governments. I remember it well because I was a county official at the time, and the state did not give us the tools to deal with the reduction in state aid. Many local leaders either had to lay off workers or cut services. Today, we made the largest investment of actual dollars into K-12 education in history, an increase of $200 for every student in every school in every part of the state this year, and another $204 increase on top of that next year. Plus, we gave schools extra resources to cover transportation costs, to add mental health services, and to put new technology in the classroom. And the reforms we passed years ago have saved school districts, local and state governments, more than $5 billion and counting, according to an independent review. Most importantly, they allow school leaders to staff based on merit and pay based on performance. That means they can put the best and the brightest in the classroom and pay them to be there. You see, putting more money into schools is good, but making sure it goes into improving the quality of education for students in classrooms, well, that's priceless. I'm proud to say that that is what we're doing right here in Wisconsin. Eight years ago, there were only 1,611 youth apprenticeship students in Wisconsin. Today, the number of youth apprenticeship students has more than doubled, as has financial support from the state. And state funding for high technology workshops called Fab Labs doubled in this past budget. You see, we're... We are giving our students a head start on outstanding careers. 8 years ago, tuition went up for college students in the University of Wisconsin system. In fact, during the decade before our freeze, UW tuition went up a whopping 118%. Today we froze tuition for all undergraduates from Wisconsin for 6 years in a row. We did that to make college more affordable for students and working families. Now, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates the average student saved more than $6,300 over 4 years thanks to the freeze. That is real money. Eight years ago, there were actually people living in poverty who were on a waiting list for access to health coverage under Badger Care. Today, for the first time in the history of the state, everyone living in poverty is covered under Badger Care. Because of our unique Wisconsin-based solution, we had, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, no gap in coverage. And we rank as one of the top states in the nation for access to health care coverage, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Hard to believe, but 8 years ago, there were about 4,000 people with disabilities, including both children and adults who were on waiting lists for long-term care services. Plus, many counties were not included in the long-term care programs. This year, we are expanding family care and IRIS to every part of the state to provide long-term care options for senior citizens and for people with disabilities to allow them to live as independently as possible. Today, I am happy to report to you that by the end of this year, we will eliminate wait lists for children who need long-term care services in every county in the state. Ending wait lists for long-term care services means children like 14-year-old Malik of Kenosha finally gets the support that they need. Malik lives with cerebral palsy and autism and has limited mobility. After 2 years on the wait list, today, Malik gets in-home therapy. He has a modified bathroom that gives him more independence, and his family gets much-needed respite services. His mother says all of this has been a game changer. Malik and his mother are here with us tonight. Access to long-term care services also means freedom for people like Mick and Helen in Green Bay. At 91 years young, Mick fell and broke his leg, but he was able to return home to his wife of 70 years thanks to the services and equipment he receives under family care. Helen, his wife, calls the woman who comes to their apartment to help with their daily task her visiting angel. Ending wait lists for long-term care also helps people like Melissa in Sauk City. Melissa was born with a disorder that affected her cognitive development. And after high school, she landed her dream job at Spa Kalahari. But she doesn't drive, and transportation was an issue. Through her long-term care services in the IRIS program, Melissa gets help with transportation and other home care services, which has helped improve her life. You're around here somewhere, right? There you are. Now, people like Malik, Mick, and Melissa should not have to put their lives on hold to get the help that they need to be independent and to live their best lives. These are success stories, and I am glad that these services will be available all over the state. Since 2011, Wisconsin has been recognized as a national leader on helping people with disabilities enter the workforce. Today, according to the annual Disability Statistics Compendium, we rank in the top 10 states for hiring people with disabilities. That's good news for people like Marcus. He was one of the first interns in Project Search at Children's Hospital, Wisconsin. After graduation, Marcus was hired full-time by the hospital. See, Project Search is a program that helps high school-age students with disabilities prepare to enter the workforce. And I love going to their graduations. It's one of the most inspirational things you can do. The success rate for Project Search in Wisconsin is 88%, which makes it one of the best in the entire country. Eight years ago, there was just one program site for Project Search in this state. When school starts in the fall, there will be 27 sites across the state of Wisconsin. Eight years ago, Governor Doyle had closed all eight of the visitor centers around the state. Today, we've seen a 35% increase in the economic impact of tourism. Our marketing focuses not on a slogan, but on the fun. That's right, the fun people have in Wisconsin. We partnered with local convention and visitors bureaus and chambers of commerce to open visitor centers all across the state. Check out travelwisconsin.com for more details. Is that pretty good, Stephanie? She'd like it even more if I repeated it. TravelWisconsin.com. 8 years ago, the state government did not have any state-funded grant programs for the expansion of broadband infrastructure. Today we do. And in this last budget, we invested $41.5 million, an increase of over $35 million to connect communities across the state to high-speed internet connections, as well as give schools access to the latest technology and training. Our goal is to connect every part of the state of Wisconsin over the next 2 years. In 2007, the economic impact of agriculture was estimated at $59.2 billion by UW Extension. Today, a report by that same UW Extension estimates that agriculture has an $88 billion impact on the Wisconsin economy. Yeah. Lower property and agriculture taxes, science-based and predictable regulations, limits on frivolous lawsuits, and expanded export opportunities will help our family farmers continue to grow in 2018 and beyond. Yeah. 8 years ago, taxes were going up. In fact, during the decade before we took office, property taxes alone went up 27%. I remember it back then. People were telling me about how they felt that they were being taxed out of their homes. Today, both property and income taxes are actually lower than they were in 2010. Property taxes on a median value of home are estimated to be more than $100 lower in 2018 than they were 8 years before. And think about this. If the previous trend had continued from before I took office, the estimated property tax bills on a typical home in Wisconsin would be $612 higher than they were this year. And for the first time since 1931, there is no state property tax. In fact, property taxes as a percentage of personal income are now the lowest that they have been since the end of World War II. Plus, we cut income taxes. So get this, a typical family will have saved $1,400 since 2010. The overall state and local tax burden in Wisconsin, once one of the highest in the country, is now below the national average. Based on data from the U.S. Census Bureau, it is the lowest it has been in more than 50 years. 50 years! Through the end of this budget, the cumulative impact of our savings to the hardworking taxpayers of Wisconsin will exceed $8 billion. That's right, $8 billion. Only two other states in the entire country have reduced their tax burden more than we have since 2011. 8 years ago, according to Chief Executive Magazine, Wisconsin ranked 41st for business. Sadly, the state was consistently in the bottom 10 for places to do business in. Today, for the first time in the history of the survey, Wisconsin ranks in the top 10 states for business. That's why global businesses like Haribo and Foxconn are coming to Wisconsin. It is why Fleet Farm is expanding in Chippewa Falls. Generac is growing in Waukesha. U.S. Venture is expanding in Appleton. Quick Trip is building in La Crosse. Great Lakes Cheese Company is adding jobs in Wausau. Ameriquip is growing in Kiel. iMark Molding is adding jobs in Woodville. And Oshkosh Corporation is expanding, well, of course, in Oshkosh. You like that, right? There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'm going to take a pass. Thanks to the many employees from these companies who are here with us tonight. And you know what? We're just getting started. Foxconn, for example, will begin construction this year on a $10 billion campus. This will require some 10,000 construction workers from all over the state. Earth movers from Hoffman Construction out of Black River Falls are already starting work on the infrastructure for this major project. Families, workers, and companies from across the state will benefit from one of the largest economic development projects in the history of America. Once operational, Foxconn will spend roughly $1.4 billion a year with Wisconsin businesses. Now, to put that in perspective, Oshkosh Corporation, one of our great Wisconsin employers, a company that just won the coolest thing made in Wisconsin contest. They spend about $300 million each year with Wisconsin-based companies. Foxconn will spend more than four times as much. That's a big deal. And if you're a small business that would like to be a part of the Foxconn team, I invite you to sign up on the website, wisupplychainmarketplace.com. Most importantly, Foxconn will be one more reason to keep our graduates here in the state. Young people like Amber, who is a student at Gateway Technical College, Joey and Tim, who attend Madison College, and Eric, who is a student at Fox Valley Technical College. They and many others like them all have plans to be a part of the 13,000 people working on the Foxconn team. Thank you for being such a visible reminder of the employers that are growing here in the state of Wisconsin. Eight years ago, things were not very good in our state. There were double-digit tax increases, billion-dollar budget deficits, and record job loss. State aid to schools and local governments were cut with no tools provided. UW tuition was continuing to go up faster than inflation. And Wisconsin consistently ranked in the bottom 10 states for businesses. We don't want to go back to those days. That would be a giant step backwards. Thankfully, many of us in this chamber today had the courage to make some tough decisions. The results from those tough decisions helped turn our state around. These results now allow us to invest record amounts into our schools and to other priorities while still making Wisconsin more affordable for the hardworking taxpayers of this state. Now we need to keep moving Wisconsin forward. So today, I'm laying out an ambitious agenda for 2018 to keep us headed in the right direction. First, to ensure that every child across this state has access to a great education, we're going to find additional ways to put more resources into the classroom. A good school equals a great life, and we have some of the best schools in the country. We will build off of our historic investments into K-12 education. Looking ahead, we need to continue to help rural schools help keep more money in the classroom. Now, many of these schools have unique needs related to transportation and to the size of the district. I want to ensure educational excellence everywhere. With that in mind, we have a plan that will increase sparsity aid and a plan to help out low-revenue school districts. Today, I want to personally thank the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, John Nygren, for his leadership, as well as Senator Howard Markwein and Representative Jeff Mercer for working together on this. And today, I call on the members of the state legislature to pass this plan. Second, we need to grow the number of opportunities for our young people to pursue great careers right here in our state. Together, we developed a plan with the Wisconsin Technical College System, the University of Wisconsin System, and with private colleges and universities across Wisconsin. With all the new jobs being created in our state, we must have enough graduates with the skills to fill these careers. Today, I propose that we use the $20 million designated in Act 58 to establish a new Wisconsin Career Creator program on campuses all over the state. Now, you remember years ago, we had brain drain, and that was really a problem. Now, with all the exciting new jobs and developments, there are many, many more reasons to keep our graduates right here in Wisconsin. Now, that's what I call brain gain. Tonette and I love the fact that our sons, Matt and Alex, work here in the state. We know how nice it is to have family close to home. We want that for other families as well. You see, education and training are the keys to building a strong workforce. We also increased opportunities for people with physical and intellectual disabilities in the workforce. Plus, our most recent budget included a major increase in funding for vocational training within the correctional system. And we are aggressively working to get veterans into the workforce. Still, we need to increase the number of potential employees in the state. With more people working than ever before, we cannot afford to have anyone on the sidelines. Therefore, as the third point in our ambitious agenda, I propose that we expand our Wisconsin Works for Everyone welfare reforms. Since we started requiring employment and worker training, more than 25,000 people have gained employment. People like Tom... People like Thomas from Stevens Point and Charlotte from Beloit. Thomas had been working a series of seasonal jobs with our training program. He now has a permanent job with MedExcel at St. Michael's in Stevens Point. And the great part is he says it's his dream job. Charlotte had health issues that forced her out of a job. Through our program, she got the help she needed and was hired almost immediately to work in registration at Beloit Health System. These are just a few of the success stories of the more than 25,000 people who are in the workforce because of our work to transition more people from government dependence to independence, true independence through the dignity of work. Still, we need more individuals in the workforce. Each week, we typically have 80,000 to 100,000 job openings on our state website, jobcenterwisconsin.com. In fact, that phone must be opportunity ringing right there. With that in mind, I'm calling a special session to pass our Common Sense Welfare Reform Plan. We want able-bodied working-age adults to work at least 30 hours a week or to enroll in job training to get assistance in our state. We want to expand welfare reform statewide, and we want to ensure that everyone getting public assistance can pass a drug test. Now, here's the important part. If someone fails, we set aside resources to get them into rehabilitation because we understand that if we get them healthy, we can find a job for anyone in the state. We also propose putting asset limits on public assistance so people with giant mansions and fancy cars don't get welfare checks while hardworking taxpayers like you have to pay the bills. While many are upset with the inability to get things done in Washington, we are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. I want to thank Speaker Robin Voss and Senator Chris Kapinga for leading on this issue and working with us on welfare reform. Now, some, maybe even in this Capitol, will complain that our reforms are about making it harder to get government assistance. The truth is, our reforms are about making it easier to get a job. For those who are able, we will enable them to find meaningful work. We want to help people pursue careers to support themselves and their families. You see, public assistance should be more like a trampoline and less like a hammock. Woo! Just like Tommy Thompson did in the 1990s, when unemployment was low and times were good, we are moving people from welfare into the workforce. Fourth, I want to ask the members of the legislature here to pass our small business plan to help even more employers grow across the state. The first step is reducing costs for small businesses. Lower taxes, streamlining regulations, and reducing frivolous lawsuits are all a part of the plan. There's still more that's being done this session on ending welfare, on unemployment fraud and on lawsuit reform. Let's get it done. The next step for small business is preparing the workforce. Our plans include investments in schools, apprenticeships, higher education, and worker training. Another step for small businesses is removing barriers to work. The plan includes ending benefit cliffs to encourage more people to work, take more hours, and advance into higher wage jobs. It also includes work requirements and screening we just talked about for drug use for welfare benefits, as well as adding new populations to the workforce. The final step of our plan for small business is to help attract new talent. I ask for your assistance, the assistance of this legislature, as we seek to attract to Wisconsin several key groups of potential employees: transitioning veterans and their families, graduates of Wisconsin colleges and universities, and millennials from across the Midwest. For more details on our small business plan, please visit our website, walker.wi.gov. We are committed to helping small businesses grow in every part of Wisconsin. We recently made a major announcement in terms of investments into our ethnic chambers of commerce to help grow minority-owned businesses, small businesses in particular in the state. We continue to partner with local chambers, with county economic development entities, and with regional economic development organizations to grow small businesses and to ensure that there are more small businesses that succeed in the rural parts of our state. I propose today that we create a rural economic development fund of $50 million per year. This fund will support the development of new businesses and the expansion of small businesses in rural areas. And it can assist in training more people to fill the positions being created by employers in rural areas. On top of that, many of the small businesses in our rural communities support and depend on our farm families. To keep more of our family dairy farms, I propose a plan that will create a family farm fund. This fund will provide scholarships to encourage students to take advantage of agriculture-related studies at a Wisconsin technical college or at the University of Wisconsin College of Agriculture. We believe that will help them begin a rewarding career in farming. Our plan will also help farmers deal with the cost of ensuring that their farming practices preserve clean water in rural areas. We also recognize that farmers are facing challenges with low commodity prices. That's why earlier today, I signed an executive order to Ag Day that expands resources for farmers to reach new markets across the country and around the world. We also need to do more to connect people and businesses in rural areas to high-speed internet connections. As mentioned, we made a major new investment in broadband access grants for communities and in TEACH grants for schools and students. But we can do more. That's why I'm calling on the Federal Communications Commission to finalize rules increasing access to broadband internet by advancing television white space technology. White space technology is the unused spectrum between broadcast television stations, and it can deliver high-speed internet to underserved areas of Wisconsin. Each of these items will help grow small businesses here in this Wisconsin. Therefore, I ask for the members of this legislature to act on these items that require legislative approval before the end of the session. Our ambitious agenda also includes our work to reform state government to make it more effective, more efficient, and more accountable. We will continue to challenge the status quo. With that in mind, we're pushing a major reform of the criminal justice system for serious juvenile offenders. Over the past year, we worked with county officials, members of the judiciary, policy experts, and lawmakers from both political parties. We looked at best practices in states like Missouri and elsewhere to see how to reform the system here in Wisconsin. Thank you to Secretary John Litcher and Secretary Linda Seemeyer for their work and that of their incredible teams. Instead of one or two large facilities, which has been the model in Wisconsin for decades, our reform plan will create six smaller facilities spread throughout the state. Locations for five of the sites would be determined by collaborating with the 72 counties, since the offenders are sent to state facilities from individual counties. The other facility would be right here at Mendota Mental Health Institute as part of the nationally recognized program for mental health treatment. The complex in Lincoln County would be converted to a medium security adult prison. It would likely focus on alcohol and drug abuse treatment. The additional space would also help limit the amount of money the Department of Corrections has to pay for contract beds outside of the system. Now, the Department of Corrections has made many changes over the past few years to improve safety and treatment. These include additional positions, increased compensation, changes in medicine distribution, and more security cameras. The changes I'm talking about today, however, are much larger than that, and they are really about long-term reform of the system. Today, I ask the members of the state legislature to act on this plan by the end of the session. I particularly want to thank Representative Evan Goyke for his work on these reforms. Much of our plan parallels his work. He is now, as I understand, amending portions of that to include our additions to mental health and trauma-informed care. So let's work together. Let's work with the counties to pass this plan quickly so we can move forward with real reform in the system. Now, just like families all across the state have had to do over the past 8 or 9 years, we had to make some tough decisions. And you know what? They paid off. Our reforms are working. The economy is growing, and Wisconsin has a sizable surplus. As promised, when we have a surplus, we will give it back to you, the hardworking taxpayers. You see, this is your reform dividend. You deserve it. First I had a phone, now I have kids. How do I get to compete with all that, right? Come on up, guys. So today, I propose that we create a child tax credit here in the state of Wisconsin. So we're going to create a new Wisconsin child tax credit. Families from across the state will receive $100 for every child under 18 living at home. A couple hundred dollars more in the family budget could really make a difference, particularly when getting ready for the next school year. It could be a new pair of shoes, a winter coat, activity fees at school, or maybe a copay at the doctor or the dentist office. We know sometimes Wisconsin families face challenges when making ends meet, and this new child tax credit, well, we think it can help. Today, I'm joined by families from all over Wisconsin who will benefit from our child tax credit. So today, I ask you, the members of the state legislature, to pass our plan so that by the time these kids and all the others like them across the state begin school this fall, their parents will receive a check in the mailbox. I had two. I can only imagine what it's like to have all these kids together, right? The final part of our ambitious agenda for 2018 is providing stability in healthcare. Our citizens are crying out for a stable healthcare system. And you know what? Washington has failed to act, so it is time for us to lead in Wisconsin. That is why today I propose the creation of a health care stability plan. Most people receive their health care coverage from their employer, and premium increases for the majority of employer-based plans were fairly modest this past year at about 5%. The biggest concern I hear about as I travel the state is from those who are worried about pre-existing conditions. With this in mind, I propose that we enact a law in Wisconsin that will guarantee coverage of pre-existing conditions. Now, this part is serious. That way, someone who has cancer or another serious disease or ailment will not have to worry about obtaining or keeping coverage. The members of the State Assembly have already moved forward on this process. Now I ask the members of the State Senate to do the same. This will provide comfort and stability for people all across Wisconsin. For our senior citizens, people like my parents who are watching at home, hi mom, most receive their health care coverage through Medicare. While this is a federal and not a state program, we can provide certainty and stability for those who depend on senior care. In the past, there's been plenty of debate about whether this should be a federal or a state government responsibility. It is clear that the people want it at the state level. Therefore, I am officially seeking a permanent waiver for the state of Wisconsin to provide senior care. Since it was first approved in 2002, the state has asked for an extension of senior care four times. It is time to make this a permanent and stable program. And for the small number of people who seek coverage through the individual market, and not through their employer or through Medicaid or Medicare, I propose that the state provide assistance to keep those premiums from making health care coverage unreachable for many of our fellow citizens. Under Obamacare, the so-called Affordable Care Act, premiums for people in the individual market are going up an average of 36% this year. Some are seeing much larger premium increases. For example, Christine from Brown County saw her premiums go up, but get this, almost $2,000 a month. A month. That's about 120% increase. That is unsustainable and unacceptable. Thankfully, our health care stability plan will help keep premiums at a reasonable level here in Wisconsin. This is a market-driven approach to bring stability to health care in Wisconsin. Just as we did years ago, when we found a unique way to cover everyone living in poverty for the first time in Wisconsin history, we have a unique way to help drive down premiums. And you know what? This is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It is a Wisconsin issue. We listened to the people and created a Wisconsin solution. As Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton said, in the past, the Affordable Care Act is no longer affordable. Instead of seeking to put thousands more people onto government assistance through the Obamacare expansion, our plan helps drive down premiums to make health insurance plans more affordable, and we believe it will lead to more choices for consumers across the state. Our health care stability plan is the Wisconsin way to provide stability and peace of mind for our citizens. Along with coverage of general health care needs, we must continue to find new ways to fight the opioid and illegal drug addiction crisis in this state. Since I've been governor, it's been my honor to have signed 28 pieces of legislation with broad bipartisan support, so thanks to you all. 28 pieces of legislation to law dealing with this challenge. Thanks again to Representative Nygren for putting together such a broad-based coalition to fight this epidemic and for joining with our outstanding Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish as the co-chair of our commission. We signed two executive orders regarding this last Friday, and today I ask you to pass the latest recommendation from this panel of experts. We know that if we get people treatment, or better yet, keep them from addiction in the first place, it will not only create a healthier Wisconsin, but a happier one too. And that will help us build the workforce we need to keep moving Wisconsin forward. Sadly, as so many of us know, this is one of those issues that knows no boundaries. Rich or poor, big city or small town, Republican or Democrat, these are the issues that people want us to work together on. Issues like pushing for more ways to help our schools improve student success, growing the number of opportunities for our young people to pursue great careers that will keep them here in our state, expanding our Wisconsin Works for Everyone welfare reforms, helping small businesses grow across the state, continuing to reform our government, creating a new child tax credit to help working families, and providing stability in health care. These issues are the seven common sense principles of our ambitious agenda for 2018. You see, we're getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin, but there is still more work to be done. So today, I ask you, the members of the Wisconsin State Legislature, to move forward on these important issues. As I said before, these are not Republican or Democrat issues. These are just Wisconsin issues. Plus, I know that we can work together. Many at home might be surprised to hear this, but more than 90% of the bills that I have signed into law were passed with more than just Republican votes. Let me repeat that so you heard that right. More than 90% of the laws that I've signed as your governor had more than just votes from Republican lawmakers. I say that because I know we can work together to get things done, because we've done it in the past, and you can do it again this year. And I ask you, the people of Wisconsin watching us at home on TV or on the internet, wherever you're looking at it, I ask you to talk to your lawmakers and ask for rapid action on this ambitious agenda for 2018. I'm confident that you will, because I've seen you do positive things all over the state. See, one of my great joys as your governor is traveling the state of Wisconsin and visiting with so many wonderful citizens. I love to see the people of Wisconsin. Through our visits, I see how proud you are. I see how proud you are of your families, of your homes, of your work. I see how proud you are of your small businesses and farms. I see how proud you are of your schools and your churches and places of worship. I see how proud you are of your communities. And as I travel the state, I see how proud you are of our state. We are Wisconsin proud. Today, I want you to know that I'm proud to be your governor. I'm proud of the work that we've done here. I'm proud of the progress we've made together. I'm proud that we are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin, But you know what? We're not done yet. So let's get going. Let's get working together. Let's keep moving Wisconsin forward. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless the great state of Wisconsin. May God bless our service members across the world. And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
And so Governor Scott Walker concludes his eighth State of the State address before a joint session of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate. And Sean, this was a much longer address than he has given previously.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to go back and look at all seven of his previous State of the State addresses or four budget addresses. But if memory serves, this was the longest speech he's given like this, and it wasn't even close. And as he often does, the governor repeated the theme that he wanted people to take away from it. Just think about past speeches where he talked about working and winning in Wisconsin. You didn't hear that this time. You heard him refer over and over again to getting things done. And that kind of mirrors what he was talking about after that special state Senate election recently flipped the Democrats. The governor was saying, what lessons did you learn? We learned that people need to know what we did in Wisconsin and don't confuse us with Washington, where they're not getting things done.
So he said repeatedly in the first half of his speech, getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin. And then he shifted in the second half of his address to his so-called ambitious agenda with all of those plans that we kind of talked about at the head of this address, including that $100 per child under 18 tax credit.
If you're wondering when he was going to bring up Foxconn, he did talk about it. It's not something that he ignored. It was about 35 minutes into the speech, so it wasn't presented as kind of the crown jewel of his achievements during this past term. He talked more earlier in the speech about education funding, a tuition freeze, tax cuts, as you'd expect. He did talk about that $100 credit with visual aids. He had kids up on stage to say, look, this could buy them shoes or, any number of other things. He said that he framed it in terms of this is what we do when we have a surplus, as the state has now. The trick with any kind of a tax cut like that or tax credit like that is that it would be ongoing and, future governors, legislatures, budgets would have to continue to pay that because that's not the kind of thing that's going to go away.
He regarded that as a reform dividend. So as we told you before the governor's address, we will be hearing the minority response this afternoon from Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh. He will lead Assembly Democrats in the upcoming legislative session, of course. He represents the 54th Assembly District in Oshkosh. And we now go to Representative Gordon Hintz for his minority response.
Good afternoon. I'm Assembly Democratic Leader Gordon Hintz. Historically, Wisconsin's been a state of planners, always looking ahead to enhance quality of life and opportunity, and not just in the immediate future. Generations of Wisconsinites believed in investing in quality public schools, a world-class university system, safe and efficient transportation infrastructure, and held a deep appreciation for protecting our natural resources. Our shared values and these long-standing hallmarks are why so many people chose Wisconsin to live, work, and raise their families. State government impacts every person in Wisconsin. The biggest decisions made by the legislature and governor are not immediate. Paying for roads, schools, and higher education are not 1 or 2 year commitments. They're long-term investments that should know no political boundaries. Yet in recent years, decisions seem to be made for short-term political benefit. Since the Great Recession, Wisconsin's economy has grown at a little more than half the national growth rate. Despite this modest growth, Governor Walker has slashed funding for higher education and K-12 education during his time in office. Why? Because Governor Walker and legislative Republicans have prioritized tax cuts to the wealthiest individuals in the state over the last 7 years. In this year alone, 15 individuals who earn more than $30 million a year will receive tax credits totaling $27.6 million. That's real money. Republicans passed the largest funding cuts to public schools in our state's history, while at the same time handing out tax cuts for the wealthy that will cost the state more than $1.3 billion by the end of next year. For Wisconsin to achieve educational excellence for every school and every student, Wisconsin needs a sustained investment. Wisconsin Democrats believe education is the biggest priority and should be the biggest priority every year, not just election years. Since taking office, Scott Walker has desperately tried to define himself as the pro-jobs governor. His efforts have been a gigantic failure. Let's examine the track record. An unfulfilled pledge to create 250,000 jobs by the end of his first term. A mining bill which promised thousands of jobs but created zero. Numerous anti-worker reforms that lowered wages. These failures led to a costly economic trickle-down fantasy. His proposal to offer the most expensive state taxpayer-funded subsidy to a foreign corporation in U.S. history, the Foxconn deal. Now, because of the Republican tax policy, Foxconn will receive up to $3 billion in tax credits as cash payments from Wisconsin taxpayers. In total, the governor is handing Wisconsinites a bill for $4.5 billion to pay for this boondoggle. Under the best-case scenario, Wisconsin will not break even for a quarter century on this deal. Now, if we invested even a fraction of the $4.5 billion that's going to Foxconn, we could support existing business expansion or help grow new companies around the state. Wisconsin needs sustainable development and an investment in homegrown businesses. In the governor's speech, we heard him talk about transportation funding. The fact is, his 7 years of failed leadership has led to crumbling roads across Wisconsin. It is clear by now that as long as Governor Walker is in charge, he will sacrifice Wisconsin's infrastructure and our economy in exchange for applause from right-wing interest groups. The inaction on transportation the past 7 years has led to record transportation debt, delayed projects, and increased costs to taxpayers. As a result, Wisconsin now has the second worst roads in the United States, according to U.S. News and World Report. To restore the quality of life we deserve, let's repair the roads and highways that are crumbling and find a long-term funding solution. And the biggest challenge facing Wisconsin is attracting people. An aging population has made it difficult to fill existing jobs. And if we cannot attract enough people to grow our workforce, companies will expand operations elsewhere. It's important to recognize that jobs follow people, and people increasingly want to live where there are good schools, strong transportation infrastructure, and public amenities such as attractive parks. Restoring our state's long-term commitment to quality of life investments and protecting the environment is essential if we want to draw people to Wisconsin. Young families want to live in a state where public policies help them thrive. Wisconsin Democrats support an increase in the child care tax credit to help make child care more affordable, allowing those with student loan debt to refinance that debt at a lower rate like you would for a home or a car, and by expanding paid family leave to allow people to care for a newborn child or a sick loved one. Lastly, Wisconsin needs to make sure affordable health care is accessible to everyone in Wisconsin. Governor Walker has made a political career out of denying health care access, even endorsing an end to coverage for pre-existing conditions. Now that he's in the political fight of his life, he's changed his mind. If he's serious about making healthcare affordable and accessible to everyone in Wisconsin, Governor Walker should accept the Medicaid expansion funding. It doesn't make sense for Wisconsin taxpayers to pay more and cover fewer people. It shouldn't take low poll numbers and a tough re-election to do the right thing for the people of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Democrats will continue fighting for Wisconsin families in every corner of the state. Thank you for listening today.